This episode is made possible by Awin. Unlock unlimited marketing opportunities that reach consumers everywhere using Awin's affiliate partnerships platform. Choose which partners best match your marketing objectives, control your costs by defining how you pay, and customize your affiliate marketing program using Awin's tech to mirror your unique goals, whatever they may be. Visit awin.com/emarketer to learn more and get started today.
It is underneath the hood. It enables advertisers to set up their advertising campaigns, make their placements smarter, and also there are creative aspects to it as well. But it's really about the engine, the underlying engine. And I think that's where Meta stands out when it comes to AI.
Hey folks, it's Thursday, September 7th. Jeremy, Debbie, and listeners, welcome to Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast sponsored by Awin. If you're thinking right now, this lady doesn't sound like a British man, it's because I'm not. Your regular host, Marcus, is on vacation, so hello. I'm Stephanie Taglianetti, Vice President of All Things Briefings here at Insider Intelligence, and I'll be your guest host for today while Marcus is slacking off or relaxing somewhere by the beach or whatever he's doing when he's not hosting this show today. But I'm thrilled to be taking over the daily, and I have some wonderful guests with me. Today, I am joined by my right-hand man, Jeremy Goldman, Senior Director of Marketing, Advertising, Retail, and Tech Briefings, who's based out of Manhattan. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Stephanie. Great to see you, as always.
Yes, thank you. You too. And I'm also joined by Deborah Aho-Williamson, Principal Analyst covering social media, who is based out of Seattle. Hi, Debbie.
Hey there. Nice to be here with you. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. I'm really excited about today's format of the show, which is a little different than the normal daily, but we'll get into that in a little bit. And before we do dive into today's topic, as always, we will start with a random fact brought to you today by me going into Google search and typing random fact of the day. So first, before I give you this fact, I would like to ask Jeremy and Debbie a question. So Jeremy, what color eyes do you have?
I would say probably like the most boring shade of brown possible.
Yes, I agree. I'm just kidding. Debbie, what color eyes do you have?
Mine are hazel, so lighter brown.
Okay, yes. And do you like, you ski more brown than like green? I know
yes.
That can go either way. All right,
definitely
cool.
More
well,
brown.
Today's fact of the day is that green is the rarest eye color in the world. Brown is the most common eye color. It's estimated that 70 to 80% of the world's population have brown eyes. People with brown eyes are less likely to develop eye cancer, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy than those with lighter color eyes, which I have. Mine are blue, by the way. But people with brown eyes are more at risk of cataracts as they get older. Sorry, Jeremy, that's a risk for you, but you did sidestep some worse ones, I would say. The second most popular eye color, which I possess, again, is blue. Estimates suggest that 8 to 10% of people across the world have blue eyes, while another 5% have hazel, just like Debbie, and only 2% of the world's population is estimated to have green eyes. Some famous green-eyed people of the world include Scarlett Johansson, Mila Kunis, and my celebrity crush, Paul Rudd. So thank you for listening to some random stats about eyes. And I do have a joke to tee up our next segment. It is very apropos. So, Jeremy, Debbie, what did the optometrist tell the judge when he was in court?
It's a pun. Oh my God, it's got to be a pun. It always is.
I'll sue you.
Iris my case. Yes.
Iris my case.
Very cringy.
Is the optometrist practicing law in this situation?
You know what? If you want to pick apart my joke, I will be extra critical of your answers in this game that we have coming up next in today's real topic. It's going to be a battle royale here as Jeremy and Debbie go head to head telling us who is winning, TikTok or Meta. So So in today's episode, first we'll cover TikTok versus Meta in a very special edition analyst showdown, mock debate style. And I'll first tell you how this is going to work because it is a bit different from the normal daily format. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Debbie and Jeremy a few questions about which social platform is winning in terms of time spent, advertising, and innovation. Debbie will be arguing for Meta, and Jeremy will be arguing for TikTok. So now I want to say, of course, any arguments made today by the analysts may not express Debbie and Jeremy's actual opinions, but they are going to do their best to argue on behalf of the social platform they represent. We will have three rounds. Analysts will be awarded 1 point for the very best take, awarded by me for the title of Best Analyst at Insider Intelligence, which is a completely real title that is not made up just for the sake of this game by me. And once court is adjourned, we will spend a few minutes talking about what's going on with that TikTok ban. So sound good?
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
You ready? I just have to ask, though, Jeremy, were you ever in debate in high school or college?
The short answer is kind of. Well, but there's a longer answer there.
It's confusing.
I was not, but my husband and my family tell me I know how to hold up a good argument. So,
she's just trying to make you nervous, I think.
I've argued with you, Debbie, so I know that like the odds are stacked against me. So, fingers crossed.
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
Yes, the first order of business is going to be opening remarks. First off, Jeremy, why is TikTok a bigger threat to Meta? The mic is yours.
Well, let's see. In short, it is growing faster in a lot of different ways. It is innovating faster, both at a consumer level and for advertisers. On top of that, it, even though it attracts older audiences as well now, it's doing better with Gen Z, which monetizes at a higher rate. So if you want to keep growing through advertising, which both of these companies do, TikTok is well positioned going into 2024.
All right. And Debbie, opening remark, why is Meta a bigger threat to TikTok?
Yeah, well, Meta has the crown when it comes to brains and brawn. Massive amount of brain power there, coming up with all sorts of new features and products for the platform. When it comes to brawn, there are more Facebook users, more than double the number of Facebook users as there are TikTok users in the world. And even if you were to combine TikTok and Douyin, there are still more Facebook users. And the last thing I would say is that people think about TikTok as the David to maybe Meta's Goliath, but this is really a Goliath versus Goliath story. We've got TikTok and Douyin with about $34 billion in ad revenue compared to about four times that for Meta. But Douyin wins out when it comes to e-commerce. We estimate $335 billion in retail e-commerce will go through Douyin, compared to just $69 billion for all of U.S. social commerce. So still, we've got one on the advertising side, the other one on the commerce side. These are both Goliaths, and I am really looking forward to debating this with Jeremy.
All right. Sounds like you both came to play. Well, let's see who's right as we dig in a bit more in the first round of our analyst showdown. All right. Round one's going to start right now. According to our most recent forecasts, Insider Intelligence estimates among the entire U.S. population, people are spending an hour and 23 minutes each day on social media networks. We estimate that Facebook is getting 20 of those daily minutes, Instagram 15, and TikTok is getting 17 minutes. So I know there's a bit of nuance to time spent on platforms based on whether people are regular users or not, but let's dig in here. Jeremy, what's getting people to spend time on TikTok, and who's winning here when it comes to having a better user experience? Why is TikTok winning?
I mean, just simply based off of the fact that it is, you know, Debbie's completely right, Goliath versus Goliath. But when you look at the average time spent per day with TikTok, you know, you still have in the U.S. growth of almost 10% this year, 7.5%. next year, you know, so it's actually pretty, like I say, the proof is in the pudding. People are spending time where they want to spend time. And ultimately, when I look at the data about who's better at creating a bit more of a super app interface where everything is all integrated, I would actually say that TikTok is doing a bit of a better job in that regard in terms of having an end-to-end user experience. Meta is evidenced by the fact that you were talking about Meta, but it's obviously multiple platforms between Facebook, Instagram, now Threads, obviously WhatsApp. And, you know, it's a company that's basically pushing people from platform to platform, which is a bit more of a fragmented experience and could actually leave some users with a bit of a decision paralysis. You know, where do I actually spend my time? Maybe it's not additive to what they're doing, the fact that they're creating all these different experiences.
Debbie, why is Jeremy completely wrong about this? And why is Meta actually winning when it comes to user experience right now?
Well, okay, so I'm going to diminish my case here by saying Jeremy's not completely wrong. He's not totally wrong in this. There is a lot of truth to what Jeremy said. But I think where I would defend Meta is in the fact that, yes, you can combine the time spent on platforms and it still adds up to double the amount of time spent on TikTok. So there's that. And the other thing I would say is that even though time spent on Facebook is going down slightly, time on Instagram is still rising. And even if you look out to 2025, which is the end of our forecast period, Meta will still have the lead with 35 combined minutes on Facebook and Instagram per day to TikTok's 19.
I really wish we had time for a rebuttal, but if we do, you're the judge.
We will see how we pace and if we're getting close with the scores and if we need a rebuttal. But for now, fair. I'm convinced, since Jeremy is not completely wrong, I do think that TikTok has the better user experience. I'm going to give that round to Jeremy, plus 1 point for Jeremy. And we are not anywhere near over. It's anybody's game at this point as we move into round two. All right, here we go. According to senior newsletter analyst Sarah Lebo, our latest forecast says that U.S. social network ad spending will grow at its slowest pace since we began tracking it, at just 3.4%, reaching $68.45 billion. But there will be a spike in growth next year of about 9.7% when overall U.S. social network ad spending will hit just over $75 billion. So let's see, Debbie, when it comes to getting a slice of that $75 billion pie, why is Meta performing better at meeting advertisers' needs?
Yeah, this is going to be an easy one. So Meta has been around for years as Facebook before it became Meta, and its ad products are far, far, far more sophisticated. And advertisers, as a result, have been embedded with Meta for years now. They can't look the other way. As much as TikTok, you know, tries to entice them with some cute video of some sort, they're still wedded to Meta's products. And the other thing I think that I would say is Meta has way better performance advertising products. Its Advantage series of ad products that is based on AI is one of its most successful product launches over the past couple of years, really helping the company turn around when it comes to building out solutions that combat the loss of information from privacy changes from Apple and then now in the EU with the Digital Services Act. So in some, Meta may not have the creative pizzazz of a TikTok, but it makes up for it in being a workhorse of the digital advertising economy and something that advertisers can't live without.
Jeremy, is Debbie right here, or is TikTok actually doing a better job of meeting advertisers' needs?
So I would say that Debbie is wrong for a lot of reasons, but
pertaining to advertising.
The reason why I would say that Debbie is wrong, you know, sadly, I want her to be right. I really do. The thing is that we happen to have data on this in terms of what the average ad CPM is on TikTok versus Meta, you know, and I think that Debbie is right in the sense that Meta has done a good job recently fixing things that were broken that led to its ad business having a really challenging year, pretty much its most challenged year in 2022, but basically saying we fixed stuff, you know, and that's how we're good to advertisers. I don't think it is necessarily enough, especially when you look at how TikTok has innovated over the last year. Now it's allowing people to essentially advertise against search results, which is going to be a major business for them, which admittedly some other platforms have had for a while, but they are playing catch up because they are a bit more nascent of a platform. They also launched their ad transparency library recently. They're going into out-of-home advertising so that TikTok ads can now and TikTok content can now appear elsewhere. And, you know, one of the biggest signs to me that TikTok is performing in this area is, you know, we look for people to see, like, who's investing more in TikTok spend, who's cutting back their Meta and so on. You know, one of the top people who's cutting back on TikTok spend happens to be federal and state agencies. And that's about it. You know, pretty much everybody else that we see is getting a pretty strong return on their ad spend. And that's why they keep on investing back into the platform.
Well, I actually would like to hear a rebuttal here because, especially Jeremy, you yourself wrote not even a month ago that Meta's new platform Threads is gaining traction and drawing the attention of eager advertisers. So I would love to hear from Debbie on any context there that might be relevant to our listeners.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, once again, I like to play both sides here, but Jeremy is right that TikTok does have the advantage when it comes to search advertising, but that's very small. There's basically no search advertising revenue going into TikTok. We don't know if TikTok is going to be successful in this area. TikTok has huge vulnerabilities in the United States right now, which is its, you know, biggest advertising market by far. And I think that we have to basically go, okay, if TikTok went away, where are those ad dollars going to go to? Well, they're going to funnel back into Meta.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was saying that Threads was doing quite well when it was, but, you know, to paraphrase a famous quote, when the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do? You know, and ultimately, I think that it is one of those things where Meta is trying to innovate and increase more ad service. But then if you look at the fact that I like this story recently about TikTok expanding into out-of-home advertising, because that's expanding the amount of surface area that they can place ads without competing with themselves. And I think Meta's challenge is right now is just you launch more and more platforms. I would argue that things like the metaverse, things like hardware, at least they don't compete with your bottom line and your core cash cow.
All right. I mean, you've made a good case, Jeremy, but I think Debbie's points stand true. Right now, it just seems that Meta is doing the better job meeting advertisers and attracting all of that spending. So I'm going to have to say it's a tie right now with you and Debbie, 1 point apiece. Round three is just going to bring the title of best analyst at Insider Intelligence. So that's great because I get to hear you both continue to argue in round three. So let's see who's going to take the cake, as they say, in this game. Round three. For the W, for all the victory points, for the Pwn, which was a thing for a while. Remember that? For all the cookies, title of best analyst. In a completely objective, fair, and measured game, of course. Here we go. Round three. At the end of August, Danny Konstantinovich, who is an analyst on my team covering marketing and advertising, he wrote that Meta is reportedly offering advertisers anywhere from $40,000 to $200,000 in advertising credit to entice them to return to its platform. Hefty advertising credits and a bevy of AI-powered features have fueled strong spending on Meta's platforms. So, Jeremy, let's hear from you. Why does TikTok actually have the innovation edge when it comes to progress with AI?
So I think part of it is the fact that we've looked at Meta trying to justify their AI strategy pretty significantly in the press, saying, you know, wait, we have one. And it feels a little bit as if Meta is almost kind of trying to be reactive to the market, in particular, some of the things that Microsoft has done with OpenAI and also, of course, some of the moves that Google has made. So then the question is, why am I talking about Meta? The answer is that TikTok actually feels a lot more confident in its strategy, that it doesn't have to articulate it as much to the market. It is a bit of a benefit of the fact that it's not, you know, a public company in the way that Meta is. But if you look at all of the features that TikTok has been dropping over the last few months that are tied to AI, you know, consumer-facing things that can be actually beneficial, you know, everything from AI captioning to generative AI avatars to allowing creators to label AI-generated content in a way that's more easily decipherable, you know, to the average viewer. All of these things are things that improve the user experience. They're working on advertiser-facing AI, some of which they've launched that allow people to roll ads out, you know, more quickly to the market with just like a few clicks. They have, you know, an AI generated script manager. I could go on and on, but the key thing is that A, TikTok feels more confident in their strategy, and B, there's essentially some newness that's being dropped, you know, seemingly on a weekly basis.
Debbie, why is Meta actually the one who's winning here in terms of innovation?
Meta's got the solutions for businesses. I mean, I think what Jeremy's been talking about is a lot of creative type things make your ad look better, feel better, sound better, make it easier to identify whether something has used generative AI. But we don't really know how much consumers really want to engage with generative AI. OpenAI as a platform has seen a huge drop in usage of ChatGPT over the past several months. So, and I just saw another piece of research from Pew that said that maybe only about a quarter of people who are familiar with generative AI actually are using it. So Meta, on the other hand, is leaning much more heavily into AI solutions that can actually support the way businesses do their advertising and make their advertising perform better. They have invested in predictive behavior analysis, something called Meta Lattice, which is an architecture that allows knowledge to be shared across Meta surfaces like feed, story, and reels, and understand ad performance so that you can then make sure your objectives across all the platforms that you are advertising on make sense and roll up to better results. In addition, Meta has the Advantage Plus series of ad products, which I've already referenced. And Advantage Plus, like I mentioned, one of the fastest growing ad products in the company's history. And it is underneath the hood. It enables advertisers to set up their advertising campaigns, make their placements smarter, and also there are creative aspects to it as well. But it's really about the engine, the underlying engine. And I think that's where Meta stands out when it comes to AI.
Rebuttal, maybe?
I would love to hear some rebuttal happen from both of you.
Well, one of the things that Debbie, I would say like the Advantage Plus, you know, again, just for those listeners who have heard on the show before, a lot of Advantage Plus was essentially righting the ship from some of the ATT related Apple challenges that Meta had in 2022. And I think they did an admirable job in that regard. But, you know, I go back to the fact that Meta has to articulate its strategy a little bit more to the market, which is almost an inherent unfair disadvantage that Meta has here. But it remains a disadvantage. You know, the fact that they actually have to put a little bit more of their cards on the table. I don't know how you argue against that. You know, it forces them to innovate, sure, but also your competitors know in what steps you're taking to some degree. And again, you know, the personalized algorithm that powers TikTok, that is the thing that made TikTok a huge player. And, you know, Debbie's right that I was focused on a lot of consumer facing types of AI and enhancements to the user interface, because that's the thing that keeps people showing up in the platform, particularly younger people. That's who advertisers want to reach. So if you keep investing in the user experience through AI or through whatever, it doesn't really matter what it is. I think Debbie's completely right. It's about having a better user experience. And if AI can do it, then the consumer is typically happy with it.
Final thoughts, Debbie.
I mean, you could have the happiest users in the world, but if you don't have happy advertisers, you are not going to have a business. And so you need to, and Meta is doing this. Meta is building out the advertising solutions that keep the advertisers on the platform. We've heard it over and over again, how advertisers are returning to Meta. Yes, they are offering ad credits to help entice them, but I think that this is all a strategy in order to keep these advertisers and to keep them from going to another platform. And I also completely disagree that just because Meta is a public company and it has to talk about AI is a negative. Meta can talk about AI as much as it wants to. And if it has to defend it to the market, that's fine. But we're hearing more and more about Meta's AI. And if we're not hearing that much about TikTok's AI, that just leaves advertisers to wonder.
I think Jeremy, Debbie doubling down on the business case gave her the W at the end of the day and title of best analyst at Insider Intelligence. But that makes you the second best analyst at Insider Intelligence, so that's not terrible.
I'll take it.
All right. Congratulations to Debbie for winning our analyst showdown. And now that Debbie has convinced us that Meta is overall the best platform, let's talk a little bit about the TikTok ban that's going on, because I think it would be strange to not remark on that in this TikTok versus Meta showdown. So Jeremy, just a few weeks ago, you wrote that nearly half of American adults support a ban on TikTok on account of its ties to China, according to new Reuters and Ipsos study. So what's the latest here? What's your take on all of this, Debbie and Jeremy?
It's a really interesting thing, because when you talk about TikTok ban, band, then my first question is which band? Because there are so many different ones at this point, you know, at the local level, regional level, state level, obviously federal, in terms of on federal devices, you know, there are a lot of essentially like partial bans, right? But if you think about it right now, part of the issue is that is there the appetite for having a nationwide outright federal ban on TikTok in the US? And I think that, you know, you've seen essentially now almost like 6 months of people talking about it. And it's very difficult when you see that a lot of people, particularly young people, do not want to see it banned. And there are a lot of people who would also be okay with it being banned. You know, is this the hill that any particular politician wants to die on? The calculus is just not quite there. If it was like a 70-30 issue or 75-25, I think it would be a little bit more clear and you would see more movement with this. But it's not really that clear to me that something actually does wind up happening at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And of course, ByteDance, TikTok's parent, has said that they're, you know, continually trying to articulate their partnership with Oracle in order to shield US users' data from Beijing. So that's an open question if those arguments wind up being compelling at some point.
And I know you mentioned a nationwide ban. I think there's been like state by state movement on that. And like, that's just sort of, in my opinion, setting any platform up for failure if there's not nationwide legislation. What are your thoughts on Montana? I think was the last I heard about banning TikTok.
Right. And Montana, I think, is that is going to impact over 17 people. So I love Montana. Sorry. Just not a lot of people there.
I mean, why would you be on social media when you're in like one of the most gorgeous places in the United States? I get it.
And totally true. Like, Jeremy, Montana is not an important state when it comes to, you know, how many people use TikTok. And let's just be straight here. I do not want to see TikTok banned. And partially because I believe, again, going back to what we said at the beginning of this, this is a Goliath versus Goliath battle. Mm-hmm. And I love watching and researching these Goliath versus Goliath battles. And I don't want to see TikTok going away, because I think that that keeps Meta on its toes in many, many ways. And that also creates just, and TikTok is just an absolutely wonderful creative engine, not to mention all the things that TikTok's doing in social commerce, which I know we haven't talked about. So I do think there are some, you know, underlying things that need to get resolved. I think the situation with Oracle, which I believe was just written about in a publication this week, there's some tension definitely between ByteDance and Oracle and TikTok in terms of that relationship. I think we're definitely going to also see, now that it's getting into the fall, more news. It's been pretty quiet over the summer, and I think we're definitely going to see more news on this. The move to ban TikTok definitely hasn't died. I just hope that it doesn't actually get banned, because I think TikTok is a very valuable player in the business infrastructure here.
Thank you, Debbie, and congrats again for your big W today. By the way, I think you had a report come out just a few short weeks ago for any of our listeners. U.S. Time Spent with Social Media 2023, released just a few weeks ago. Debbie's report, check that out for a deeper dive on some of the topics we've discussed today on the show. But unfortunately, we're coming to the end here. If there's anything, analysts, that you'd want our listeners to remember about what we discussed today, what would that be?
Well, clearly, they need to know that I'm the most important analyst at Insider Intelligence. I mean, what else is
Double
there
down.
To say?
That's it. They can't really say much else when you have that sort of title.
I would just say that I would encourage everybody to read Debbie's writing. It is fantastic. And also that Debbie was wrong today on this episode.
And I guess if you have time, you can check out some of Jeremy's writing too. But that's all we have time for. So thank you to Debbie.
Thank you. This was fun.
And thank you to Jeremy.
Pleasure as always.
Thanks to Victoria, who edits the show, James, who copy edits it, Stuart, who runs the team, and thanks to everyone for listening in. We will see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Weekly Listen, an eMarketer podcast sponsored by Awin. Thank you, everyone.
Jeremy, you have very good arguments. You kept me on my toes. I like that.
When you argue with Debbie, Debbie is like out for blood. She becomes like a different person. You know, especially on that last one. I'm like, I'm not going to win this now.